1. System, Kepler 47. Something strange was happening in a system that was, to the outside observer, pretty normal. In fact, this pretty normal system contained just three pretty normal planets that orbited two pretty normal stars in an otherwise pretty normal binary star system. Sure, these particular planets rotated at about the same speed, so their days and nights were about the same, and the system's two suns, a yellow dwarf star and red dwarf star, only took about 7.5 days to complete a full orbit of each other, which was a bit fast, but not uncommon enough to be of note. No. What made this system unusual was that these seemingly insignificant planets had intelligent life, and not just any intelligent life. A 9-foot-tall green reptilian creature with blue skin and green spots that, if one squinted quite right, sort of looked like an upright, featherless velociraptor stepped out of a massive, translucent, curved bunker. He wore an oversized dark overcoat over his standard military dress uniform and was currently peering into the sky above the planet he occupied, which, among the three planets, was known as Kepler 47b. He gestured behind him with one clawed hand, and another tall reptilian, this one wearing a blue overcoat, ran up and handed him a pair of what looked like fancy binoculars. Taking the handles of the oval-shaped device with both hands, he peered up into the sky once more. There was a buzz and whir from the device as he thumbed its controls before the image cleared enough to watch the two stars his planet orbited. Or what remained of his system's stars, anyway. Because, for all intents and purposes, while some light did shine through the open vents in the structure that had been built around said stars, most of what he saw was metal and ships. Several ships that were massive enough to be just seen magnified in the distance, but tiny next to their cosmic counterparts, orbited around both stars. "Fuck," he muttered quietly under his breath. Then he handed the binoculars to the blue-coated reptilian, turned around, and headed back into the bunker. The bunker was bustling with activity, a hub of reptilians in military uniforms, suits, skirts, ties, medical scrubs, and everything in between were walking around with purpose and a bit more haste than usual. Some were speaking in groups, others into devices. Computers were scattered all around the room, which was set up in a cubicle-like fashion. A quick glance down revealed the many levels of the structure that had been burrowed out of the hard blue rock that made up the planet, all filled with reptilians doing various, very important things. As the tall reptilian in the large overcoat walked back through the bunker, several people stopped to salute him while still making sure to get out of his way. He moved briskly until he reached the elevator and hit the down button. He waited. The activity continued on around him as he patiently waited. The elevator dinged, and the reptilian entered. Two others entered as he pressed the button for the bottom floor. A shorter reptilian wearing a skirt and glasses entered after him and faced forward. She moved to hit a button on the elevator, found it had already been depressed, and instead dropped her hands and clasped them in front of her. Then the four rode down in silence. The elevator stopped at the bottom floor, and all exited. They walked through another flurry of activity and phones and noise. The little entourage entered a small room off to the side, where another elevator awaited. That one, they rode that down several more floors before exiting. A large security contingent awaited them outside of a checkpoint before another elevator. The reptilian nodded at the guards who got out of his way, and the four continued to the next elevator where they again went down. The reptilian in the overcoat entered a small room with 15 other highly decorated reptilians who sat at a large table that occupied the majority of the room. A huge monitor stood on one wall.
"Have we got everything set?"
he asked the room. "Relatively, General," came the response from a female reptilian with glasses and a lab coat. There was an uncomfortable silence at the table that made him think otherwise.
"Do we know if that thing is going to work?"
the general inquired when no one else voiced an opinion. Another uncomfortable silence fell across the table.
"General,"
the female reptilian wearing the lab coat stood up. "It will work. At least the shield has been working in all our simulations. By turning our two stars into Dyson spheres, we have been able to make a sort of flytrap that we think will mitigate his speed." The general nodded at her, and she sat back down at the table.
"And we don't know where he is?"
the general asked again. The female reptilian who had ridden in the elevator with the general spoke up.
"No, not exactly. None of our patrols have come back, so we're flying a little blind given his speed."
She put her head down for a second, and the table was once again consumed by silence. She gathered her thoughts before continuing.
"But we know he's close. All it took was a little quick math, even if we can't get eyes on him. We've been tracking him for a while, but he dropped off within the last few days. We thought he might be getting farther away, and we might be getting lucky, but we think he's tricking us somehow."
"And how's that?"
the general responded. She shoved several documents and papers onto the table.
"Well, when we receive a radio signal, it will be at approximately the speed of light. And these ones?"
she pointed to a chart on a piece of paper.
"He used to be moving pretty near to that speed, but lately, he's been slowing down. In fact, there was a time several days ago where he had ceased moving entirely. Unfortunately, he's begun moving again at near the speed of light. So, with these readings, we can measure his velocity and his distance and calculate when he might arrive here."
"Can you spare me the velocity, V, in relation to the trajectory, T, in which gravity, G, of course, remains a constant spiel?"
the general said.
"Right."
She took a deep breath and let it out slowly.
"Our original calculations had him breaching our solar system in about a day,"
the scientist said sheepishly.
"But since he slowed down, we may have a bit more time than we expected. Maybe an extra day or two."
"Well, that was somewhat helpful."
The general sighed and sat down at the seat at the head of the table. Then he put his head into his hands.
"Okay. And what happens once he's stunned by the trap?"
A male reptilian wearing a military uniform that was covered in a truly astonishing number of medals stood up.
"Once the shield slows this thing down, we're going to concentrate the energy from each planet's core into a sort of laser beam-type blast focused on the, intruder. Our ships will have backed away into a sort of perimeter around the thing, and they will concentrate their fire on it as well after the initial stun and the beam attack."
The general sighed again.
"Two Dyson spheres. Decades to prepare, three planets' firepower, thousands of ships, and millions of souls."
He looked at the room.
"Do we even have a chance?"
"General, you know the numbers as well as anyone else, but if you like, we can go over them again,"
the reptilian in the skirt said.
"No," he shook his head. I don't think that will help. At this point, we'll either win... He took a deep breath. Or we won't.